Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Tonight we are, it's been a little while since we had an episode, but tonight we are going to talk about the spring football game that Kansas had. I am joined tonight by Mike Plank, our editor-in-chief and supreme leader over at Rock Chalk Talk. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good now that I've been called supreme leader, so.
Yeah, I think I've done that the last few times or some variant of it. And since it's been a while since we had John, I figured it was good to remind everybody, you know, what.
Yeah, no, it feels good. It feels good. It really does.
All right. So you obviously had an opportunity to go to the spring game. You've talked about it a little bit on the site. And I personally, being over here in Virginia, did not get that opportunity. So I really wanted to have you on tonight so that we could talk about the spring game, kind of the whole atmosphere surrounding it. And then, of course, kind of following up with what does this mean for our football team, you know, what came out of it, all of that fun stuff. So starting off, you know, what were your thoughts leading up to the spring game? Were there any kind of expectations you had going into the game?
Well, at first I was just like, what is this spring game he keeps talking about? I don't remember ever having one of these. And yes, that's a shot at David Beatty, who did not have a spring game last year. They had like, I don't remember what they called it, a spring showcase or something, and it was just a practice and whatever. So I didn't bother to go to that last year. I'm not going to practice, even though we all know that's what it is. And, you know, we should probably preface everything by saying that you should never, ever try to draw conclusions from a spring game. Like, I don't care if it's Alabama or Middle Tennessee State. It's probably not a great idea.
Right.
Because you are they're working on stuff, especially in year one of a coach. You know, Wes Miles hasn't coached a game at KU yet. He's still installing offensive schemes and defensive schemes, and I'm sure they're working on under a new strength and conditioning coordinator. So they're in, you know, they've got that going on, and they're trying to learn as they practice here. And I mean, it was, I wouldn't say sloppy, but it was. There was a lot of things. I wouldn't say a lot of things. There are a couple of things that stood out, and maybe it's just the last 10 years of KU football, but I didn't come away very optimistic. I know that the offense put up, you know, it was offense versus defense the whole way to set it up for people who haven't watched it yet or just a casual fan or whatever. But it was offense versus defense the whole way. So the only way that the white team was going to score was if they got a defensive touchdown.
Right.
And so that's why the final score was 45-7, because there was one pick six, and then the offense just kept driving down and scoring, which is the first red flag for me. If that's our number one defense and they can't stop the KU offense, you know, led by Carter Stanley and a JUCO transfer, then how are they going to fare in the Big 12? So, and I know, again, Miles said it was very vanilla. Play calls on both sides, offense and defense, were, I mean, we didn't see any razzle-dazzle. There were no trick plays. But 45 points in a couple of quarters of scrimmage is a lot.
Well, here, let me jump in, because, first of all, it was a full-length game, other than the fact that the second half was a running 30-minute clock.
Right.
But, you know, it wasn't the first-team defense the entire time. And the other thing you have to remember, obviously, is that there are a lot of recruits that, you know, that are coming in that will be freshmen that are expected to have some sort of impact, especially on the defensive end, that are not there. You know, and then finally, the one last point that I'll make is that it was, from everything that I saw, from everything that I heard, it was a revolving door for both offense and defense the entire night. So it's not like either unit was able to really get into a rhythm. So each, you know, we played five quarterbacks. I mean, you know, it's not like there was really any continuity. There wasn't an opportunity for guys to really work on that communication in a game setting. Like, this wasn't even really technically a game setting. It was, you know, full time, just pretty much the same units rotating tons of people in and out, kind of getting a look to where people are at. And like you said, you can't really take a lot of strong conclusions away. There's only two things, I think, that you can really draw firm conclusions on. Is one, you know, do the players seem to be listening and taking direction from the coaching staff? Like, are they reacting to what the coaching staff is telling them? You know, do they seem to be giving maximum effort, even in the drills that they're doing? or the plays that they're participating in. Like, do they look engaged? Like, that's the one, that's the first thing you can take. And that's really the only thing you can take about the team itself. The second thing is, are the fans excited about this program? Because a lot of, you know, a lot of teams where the fans are excited about the program, and usually you see this in a case where a program is trying to come back. That's where you're going to see most of the excitement, or a team is on the rise. You know, because like a team like Alabama, sure, they have a lot of people there, but I'm sure the crowd's not necessarily that engaged the entire time. It's kind of more to be out there. But, you know, a team like Kansas, who is trying to come back from that, how abysmal they have been, having a large crowd that seems to be paying attention, that seems to be enjoying themselves, is a good sign. Obviously, it's not like, it doesn't mean that they're back. It doesn't mean that the fans are fully engaged, but it at least means that people have had their interest piqued enough that they're willing to give this team a chance. You know, and that's really all that they can ask for from the fans right now. You know, there's a lot of people on Twitter that seem to want to talk about, you know, how the fans should be completely bought in, you know, that it's up to the fans to help make this turnaround happen. But really the only thing that the program can reasonably expect is that the fan base is paying attention, you know, that they're willing to give it an opportunity, that they're willing to allow Kansas football to kind of creep back in the door. And if they can do something, this fan base looks like they're ready to explode and ready to jump on full bore here. So those are really the only two takeaways that I had from it, is that unlike in the past, you know, I'm seeing a team that is at least paying attention to the coaching staff, is giving maximum effort, and I'm seeing a fan base that looks like they're ready to buy in. They're not at the point yet where they have. They're not at the point where they've all jumped on the bandwagon, but they are at least willing to entertain the idea, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no doubt. And I think Les Miles has done a lot for the program just in the 6 months he's been in Lawrence. Does that sound about right?
I think it's only been about five.
November? They hired him before the Texas game, so November, December, January, February, March.
So about five.
April 6, yeah.
About five to six, yep.
And so anyway, yeah, he has definitely generated a lot of interest. I like almost, I can't think of anything I don't like, actually, that I've seen out of him, from the campus outreach stuff that he's done that you see, you know, not necessarily going viral, but on Twitter or I'm sure they post on Facebook and Instagram and other places too. I see it on Twitter, you know, buying students lunches and inviting students to practice and letting a few students catch passes, you know, from the quarterbacks and stuff like that. Like, that's awesome. And he is really, I think he's really energizing the students. You know, in also the rest of the fans, I don't know what the word is I'm searching for there, but by extension, I guess the rest of the fan base. I believe I heard or I read somewhere that season tickets are approximately where they were last year. But, you know, it's, again, it's April and not August. So they're 4 months ahead of where they were last year, basically, in selling season tickets. I don't know about donations or anything, but yeah, I'd say the fan base is definitely energized. There was a pretty good crowd there. I think KU Athletics estimated 5,000, and people on Twitter seem to take that as an insult, but I'm like, that's probably about right. It's not like people were, you know, packed in. There was maybe 10 people per row. I mean, everybody was spread out and relaxing, and you know, it wasn't super cold, but it was a cool evening, and there was no sun, so
yeah, and to be honest, like, if I remember right, I think they had said that last year there was a total of maybe 1,500 people that came to the spring showcase last year. So
yeah, well, and like I said, I didn't bother to go. Like, if you're not going to put on a thing for the fans, why would you expect the fans to come out? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. So I mean, the efforts that the team or that the program really has put together, and Les Miles is the perfect kind of face to put on this type of program to really engage the students, just because, you know, you can tell that he really loves what he's doing. You can tell that he really enjoys interacting with the fans. You know, David Beatty, I think the biggest issue that a lot of people had with David Beatty at the end is that, you know, he was the all shucks nice guy, but you really only got to see that side of him when he wasn't taking a beating in press conferences. He was not He wasn't out mingling with the fans. He wasn't, you know, doing a lot of that same stuff. And I think a lot of people tried to rationalize it as, you know, he's trying to work as hard as he can to keep things on track to avoid things from getting derailed. And it obviously wasn't working, you know. And so you can have bad results as a Kansas coach, but still keep the love of the fan base by interacting, by, you know, giving them an honest evaluation of what's going on. You know, like, that was the biggest problem that I think a lot of us had with David Beatty, was that, you know, he withdrew, he stopped really interacting with the fan base, and he wasn't being honest in his assessments and of how the team was going. And you know, you can accuse Les Miles of maybe being a little overly optimistic, or maybe a lot overly optimistic about how where this team's at this point, right? But you know, but the other thing, and we actually had this discussion over on Rock Chalk Talk, you know, the big quote from Les Miles coming out of the spring game was essentially that, you know, this may be the most talented first team that he's had from any stop that he's had. And obviously, I think a lot of people would take issue with that, you know, just because of how good that first LSU team was, and how they were, you know, kind of restocked from, or they were stocked full of Nick Saban's players when he took over there.
Right.
You know, I would say, though, the way that he said it, you know, he didn't come out and say that this team is going to be better, or, you know, this is the best team at this point. What he did say is that this team has a lot of raw talent. They have a lot of athletic guys. And yeah, we have not seen results from these guys at all. But I think we've had this discussion multiple times about just how poorly this coaching staff under David Beatty was developing guys, was putting guys in position to succeed. You know, when a guy like Jay Sternberger can go from doing basically nothing to going one season at Texas A&M, and now it's looking like he's going to be, you know, a middle of the draft pick in the NFL draft this weekend. Like, he was putting up huge numbers down at Texas A&M. It's not that the guy didn't have talent. He was not being put in a position to use that talent. And so I don't think I can make an honest assessment about the talent level of any guy on this roster, because we just can't see what they're able to do. You know, and Les Miles, I think, has a much better idea of how talented these guys are. Now, granted, I do think there's quite a bit of recency bias, or quite a bit of, you know, coach speak trying to think positively, you know, in terms of trying to compare the talent level overall of these guys. But the other thing, too, is we are talking about spring teams. Like, there were quite a few on that first LSU team, quite a few freshman players that came in that were, you know, extremely talented and led to a lot of those results. So, again, I think he's, you know, kind of being rosy in his picture of it, but I don't think it's completely laughable to say that these guys have talent, and that once they can implement the kind of system that Les wants to put in there, that they'll jump forward pretty quickly, you know? And so I don't think it's completely ludicrous. I do think he's being generous, but I don't think it's completely ludicrous to say that there is talent on this team.
No, it's not to say that I think there's definitely some talent there. Now, how much of it is Big 12 caliber talent, I think, is, you know, you could have a debate on that. And you know, half of the recruits for this upcoming season aren't even on campus yet.
Right.
You know,
right.
The kid that was committed to Michigan and the kid that was, I think there's maybe two or three that were committed to K-State or Texas Tech, so those guys are going to be Big 12 caliber players because they were committed to other schools,
right.
That'll be coming in over the summer.
High school players too, you know, like J.D.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were there in attendance, but obviously they're still in high school, so they're not going to be, you know, out there performing.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, there are quite a few, you know, what we assume to be fairly good, talented players that are coming, that are going to contribute here. And while, you know, they weren't all getting tons of offers from, you know, huge schools, I mean, they were three or four, you know, well, three-star guys with a couple of four-star guys sprinkled in there. You know, it's a lot of Kansas guys too. Like, it's a lot of guys that could fit well in this type of system that we're building here at Kansas, that are going to get, I think, a little bit more of an honest evaluation by the Kansas guys, as opposed to, you know, people that are coming in to try to find them. You know, and I completely are, I think I'm derailing my own point here, but honestly, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, there is a lot of unknowns on this team They are doing things completely differently. They are working with a much more competent coaching staff overall. You know, we have not seen results from any of the players that are returning just because, you know, but we don't know how much of that is because they don't have the Big 12 level talent, or how much of that is they were being put in a subpar system that didn't allow them to show the talent that they had. And so again, I don't think, I personally would not put them up on par, even maybe potentially with that first Oklahoma State team that Les had. But I do think it's very possible that they could be further along talent-wise than that Oklahoma State team, and they've just had such a very bad coaching system that nobody's been able to see it. So I'm at least entertaining the possibility. I don't think it's ludicrous to say, you know, that level of talent may be there. But I think everybody realizes that even if they have that level of talent, even if they're a very talented team, it's going to take time for them to absorb the system, to work on the execution issues that have plagued David Beatty's last few teams here, and to build a winning team at that point. It may take, you know, it may take 1 year, it may take 2 years, just depending on how quickly these guys can latch onto a competent system and be able to build on it and start to get the results that we need to see.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with any of that. You know, and I think I could look it up, I guess, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to guess that I think Les Miles' Oklahoma State first team went 4-7, I think.
They went 4-7. I think it was.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah.
But I also think that was his only. I also think that was his only losing record as a head coach, too, at least at D1, if I'm not mistaken. So, and this Kansas team does have talent. There's a lot of talent. They have several D1 caliber running backs, as were showcased, Khalil Herbert and Dom Williams, and then we've already talked about the recruits coming in, and they've got a couple of those. The secondary is going to be really good. The secondary was good during the spring game. Mike Lee and Corion Harris and who am I forgetting? Bryce Tornaden, and there's a third or a fourth guy. The secondary is going to be real good. The offense took shots down the field all night long, and according to the stats from the game, the longest completion was 23 yards. The offense took shots down the field. I mean, shots deep down the field, you know, fly patterns or post patterns or whatever, and they didn't complete any of them. And part of it was probably the conditions. You know, there's a pretty stiff 20 to 30 mile an hour breeze blowing out of the north. I mean, the secondary knocked down, I think, 14, had 14 deflections and a pick six. And I mean, the secondary is going to be good. Now, they just need to find, obviously, replace the entire front seven, the entire starting defensive line, both starting linebackers, which I guess they're going to a 3-4. So.
Right.
They're going to have to find four brand new linebackers. I mean, they're going to have to figure out a way to pressure the quarterback, or it's not going to matter how good the secondary is. But there are definitely some promising signs, and some contradictory signs, I guess. You know, the offense put up 45 points without completing a pass more than 25 yards down the field.
Right.
Yeah. So, there's definitely some talent there, and I'm interested to see who wins a quarterback battle. I think, I mean, McVitie looked pretty good, but he also threw the pick six. You know, I mean, Carter Stanley looked pretty good. I think it's going to be a fight between those two.
Yeah, so everything that I read and the parts that I did get to see, I didn't get to see a ton of it, but, you know, it looked like Carter Stanley was struggling somewhat. But again, I mean, I don't know how much of that is just, you know, all the new stuff that he's picking up coming into the system, all the, you know, he's trying to kind of build that rapport with a lot of the new receivers, the new guys that are in there. So, you know, a lot of change for this team. I don't know that you can really look at what these guys have done in the past and expect that to continue for any of them, whether it's good or bad. Like, the spring game gave us a good glimpse of what these guys might be able to do. But I don't think there's enough here. And I think that everything is different enough that it's hard to say, with the exception of guys like Puka Williams, who didn't even play in the spring game, obviously, because he's still suspended.
Right. Still on the official roster, though.
Correct. But like Dom Williams, you know, and I mean, all of our running backs, you know, like, you know that we have a very talented stable of running backs. But I don't think you can extract from here or extrapolate from here, you know, who is going to be a big contributor, like what we're going to do with any of that stuff. Like, there's just still so much way up in the air. We still have so many new guys to add to this team to integrate that, like you said, like, you can't really look at the spring game as a glimpse into what's going to happen for this team or what to expect from this team. It was just good to see that the guys were reacting to coaching staff, that they were getting in there and they were doing really, you know, really well in terms of reading and picking up new things. It definitely seemed like there was a lot that was being thrown at them during this game, and there was good from everyone. There was bad from everyone. Like, I didn't see anybody who really stood out positively, you know, like well and above everyone else. And I didn't see anybody who stood out negatively well and above everyone else either. So overall, I think it's about what you can expect from a spring game. And honestly, I really do think the night was more about Les Miles and the atmosphere that he brings and all of that, that fans can really latch on to Les Miles and his personality in a first year coach to get them through this first season. And then hopefully by that point, we've developed guys to a point where, you know, there's individual players that people can latch on to. There's starting to be team results that people can latch on to that can really drive the fan base moving forward. So the one other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, I obviously it was played all over the place on Twitter, all those different skits and all the different things that Les Miles has done, not only during, you know, the late night spring game, but also kind of leading up to that. So, you know, the big announcement for Rick Ross coming, you know, they had the video that came out on Twitter of him calling Rick Ross, you know, and I did like the fact that they included the outtakes at the end to kind of show him messing it up. You know, I think that just kind of adds to the personality that he gets to show. But what did you think overall of, like, that announcement or the whole Step Brothers skit with Bill Self, like, all of that stuff?
Oh, the skit was hilarious, and I kind of hope that they build on that for future spring games. If they could turn, and I assume they're going to try to based on the fact that they called it, what, late night under the lights? Is that right?
Right.
Very similar to, you know, late night for, you know, the basketball team at Allen Fieldhouse. Late night in the fog. Late night under the lights, you know, because the players come out and they do skits and they, you know, dance or whatever. And there's all these, you know, things going on during late night in the fog. And you kind of got a taste of that Saturday. But, you know, there's just the one skit, you know, and then obviously the concert. But, yeah, I'd like to see more skits. And you know, that would be awesome. They could turn it into this huge recruiting thing and, you know, really give Les a chance to shine and turn on the charm. And yeah, I think that would be awesome. And like I said a little bit ago, I love everything that I've seen out of Les Miles. When they first hired him, I was one of those people who was just like, I'm not too sure about this one. But, I mean, he has won me over quick. And, you know, the like I said, the videos and the fan interaction and the student interaction and the you know, the willingness to put himself out there and do things like that with Bill Self. It was good. It was really good, and the fans definitely enjoyed it. I think it's great. They need to do more of that.
Yeah. So, actually, real quick, we are overdue for a break, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Talk podcast. And we're back. Okay. So what I wanted to ask you, because you were talking about the skits that they did do, I heard that they played some other things, maybe like I know that they had played some of his commercial appearances, like the Dr. Pepper commercial, that sort of stuff. Was there any other kind of video element to it? Or I mean, I didn't get a chance to see too much of that, but was it just kind of the one Step Brothers skit and then some of the other stuff that we've seen him in?
Yeah, they played an excerpt from his movie about the Challenger that he did when he was unemployed. And he had and I don't remember what the line was, but he had a line in there where he was yelling at somebody about the O-rings, I think, on the space shuttle.
Right.
They kind of worked that into, you know, like a football type video. So that was pretty good. I feel like there was a third one. Oh, the intro, I guess, the pregame intro. was really good, and I haven't seen the video of that online. I wish KU Athletics would post that. But it was different than during the season last year. So I don't know if it's going to be a new thing for this year, if they'll go back to the old one, or if it was, you know, just for the spring game or what. But that was really good too. It was probably 3 or 4 minutes long, and it had the Reising to Meyer thing, you know, obligatory Reising to Meyer. And of course, Todd Reising was there.
Right.
They did on-field interviews with some of the former players. They did Bradley McDougald, who's in the NFL. They did Chris Harris, who's obviously in the NFL. They did Todd Reising, who may have got the biggest cheer of the night when they said, you know, I'm here with Todd Reising and rah. So that was kind of fun to listen to the former player, and they just talked to him for, you know, 45, 60 seconds, but, you know, during a timeout or something. But, and Todd Reising threw a touchdown to Desmond Briscoe in the alumni flag football game. So that was fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, so were you there for the entire, like, all the festivities? Did you watch the flag football game?
No, we got there kind of towards the end of the flag football game. And I honestly, I only stayed through halftime. We didn't stay for the second half. You know, we had the kid with us, and she's one, and it was 8 o'clock, so, you know, past her bedtime already. So,
we bailed before Rick Ross. You mean your kid didn't want to go watch Rick Ross?
I know, right? We did walk right past him. I mean, I could have reached out and touched him, but he had some pretty mean-looking security people standing around, too, so I didn't risk it.
Yeah, especially the kid right there, right? Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been quite the story to tell your kid when she grew up, you know, the whole thing. I got arrested
right?
with you right there while I was trying to, you know, reach out to the camera as we walked away from the spring game. Anyway, the whole atmosphere from everything that I've heard from everyone that was there, you know, it just seems like it's been completely different. It seems like they really went all out, and it seems like Les Miles really embraced it. And I think that's the biggest asset that he brings to this team in this first year. You know, they're able to use his outgoing personality. They're able to use his, you know, willingness to do these really weird and ridiculous skits. You know, Bill Self has done this type of stuff in the past on his own. And so bringing another guy, you know, for the second biggest program on campus who's willing to do that gives you a lot of opportunities to kind of tie all of that together, to really get people excited, to bring a lot of that, you know, goodwill that Bill Self has over to the football program in doing these sorts of things. So, yeah, I saw the Step Brothers skit on Twitter while I was working, actually, and busted out laughing right in the middle of work, which caused a lot of people to wonder what was going on. And then, of course, I showed it to everybody. And, you know, five people that are all, you know, went to SEC schools are like, yep, that's less for you. So, I mean, it's,
right.
You know, this is what he's known for. Like, this is his personality. It works perfectly. It's exactly what this team needs. You know, I mean, even the fact, like, they brought his daughter, Smacker Miles, in to work with the Jayhawk Network, you know, and you can tell in the interviews that she does with him, you know, and the, like, they're all just really enjoying it. It's really good to see this family buy in to Kansas athletics, to Kansas football. It's, you know, whether it works out or not on the field, I don't think anyone is going to say that this, you know, tenure with Les Miles was a mistake. Because he's brought the kind of attitude that people need, you know, to see, to kind of buy back in. If the results don't show up, I also think that he is going to handle that correctly, you know, in terms of holding himself accountable, you know, giving us honest assessments of what needs to happen to get it turned around. You know, he didn't seem to have a problem with that at LSU.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think he's going to turn away from that at Kansas if it gets difficult. You know, he has done this before. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to talk to the media, knows how to handle all of that. And so, you know, I can't imagine anyone else who is better equipped to handle the kind of difficult situation that we have here at Kansas, to at least give us a fighting chance to get it turned around. So, and any other thoughts about the spring game, about, you know, Les Miles here at Kansas, any of that stuff?
Well, I really only want to put one more thing out there for you. You were talking a little bit ago about, takeaways and standouts or whatever. I do want to point out that Khalil Herbert and Dom Williams together averaged over 10 yards a carry. So, you know, add Puka Williams into that and add Amari Hickson, who that's the Michigan kid we were talking about. Well, he's a Kansas City kid who was committed to Michigan. They ran out of scholarships. He came to KU. So, you know, four D1 talented backs like that, that's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. So, definitely getting a little more excited for this fall, and I don't know if you want to get into predictions or not. I think they're good based on the schedule. I think they're good for minimum of 2 wins. I mean, it could get up to what? Go crazy. 4 or 5 wins, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things, like, I think the floor for this team is 1 to 2 wins. You know, if I'm going completely crazy, I think that there is a very, very slim outside shot that this team could have everything fall right and be bowl eligible this year. Just with the way that Les Miles does things completely differently than what we're used to. You know, I'm not betting on it. Like, if I had to put odds on it, I would say maybe less than 1%, but I do not think it's impossible for that to happen. And that's not something that I said with David Beatty, you know, other than when we were buying in the Kool-Aid after the Texas game. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those crazy things. Like, I think everybody is setting the expectations reasonably that, you know, the most likely outcome for this team this year is 2 to 3 wins. And that they're either all going to come in the non-conference, or they will sneak one somewhere randomly at home in the Big 12 and win 2 of their 3 non-conference games. Like, I think that's what everybody is ready for. I don't think that anybody is expecting more than that. But there's definitely enough excitement around the program that he could pull a, you know, magic out of his hat and do something that would instantly cement his status as, you know, a guy that everybody can rally around here at KU. So,
yeah. Well, I expect them to beat Indiana State in the opener, and I expect them to beat Coastal Carolina at home. So, I expect to start 2-0 this year, and then after that, who knows? I mean, Boston College is going to be a tough one, and it's a road game. Then you got West Virginia coming in. Who knows with them? They got a new coach this year.
Right.
So you hit Big 12 play hard there, obviously, TCU, Oklahoma, Texas right out of the chute. So,
we'll get into more detailed kind of predictions or what we expect and stuff like that during the summer for all you guys listening.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of general sense, like, it's hard. You know, I think there's a good shot that Kansas could beat a team like Kansas State, a team like Texas Tech this year, just with everything that they've lost and, you know, brand new systems that they have and all of that. Like, they're all kind of at the same point of Kansas, other than the fact that, you know, they don't all have super abysmal records the last few years. But everybody's
right.
Got a new system, so you don't quite know what to expect. You know, everybody's recruiting class was around the same. You know, they were all ranked right next to each other. And so it really just comes down to, you know, Kansas probably has the more proven coach out of all three of those teams. But they probably had the lowest starting talent base of all those to start with. So, you know, it's just a question of which, you know, what gels and who starts playing better. Kansas will play Kansas State late in the year again. So, you know, there's an opportunity for a lot of improvement from either of these teams. And who knows what we'll get when we get there. But it's at least plausible to say that Kansas could be competitive in multiple Big 12 games this year and potentially sneak out a win or two. So,
oh, definitely. Pop quiz, Andy. Who's the only coach in the Big 12 who's won an FBS national title?
That would have to be Les Miles for Kansas.
Oh, right, Kansas. That's incredible.
That
That's awesome.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, have you thought about that yet?
Oh yeah, I've thought about that multiple times. You know, a lot of people didn't really even say anything because Oklahoma still had a chance when like people first started talking about it. But
right.
But I mean, yeah, you know, there's obviously, you know, the first people that hear this, if they had just got that one soundbite, you know, but it wasn't at Kansas, unless, you know, it was back in 2008 and all that stuff, and it's like, you know what? He still knows what it takes to get there. And so whether, you know, I don't think anybody is delusional enough to say that they're expecting him to get Kansas a national championship in football, but they at least know that he knows what it takes to build that type of program and to build a successful program.
Yeah. If he can turn us into Oklahoma State, I'll be thrilled.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If he can set us up the same way that Oklahoma State, you know, took off after he was there, you know, that's what we want him to do. Or,
yep.
You know, I mean, you know, even if he can get us to half of what LSU was, you know, I mean, I'll take that. I'll take half. Like, that would be, you know, 4 to 5 wins a year, potentially getting 6 or 7 in, you know, a few years. So constantly being bowl eligible or really close to it, which is what we talked about was like the ceiling for David Beatty and what we would all be super happy with. You know, so I think there's a good chance that Les Miles can get us there in a few years, where we're at least being consistently decent. Which is a huge improvement over everything we've had. So, all right. Any other final thoughts for the night?
No, unless you got something else.
Nope, that was it. So for those of you guys still listening, you know, obviously we've talked about it a few times here. Oh, actually, there was one other thing. News came out recently, just in the last couple of days here, that Jim Marchione, the assistant AD. Is retiring in July, which was a little bit of a shock to me. I know he had been with the program for quite a while. He actually was instrumental in getting us to be able to talk with Todd Chapman, the Kansas tennis coach. You know, but he's done a whole lot for Kansas. He's credited as being kind of the mastermind behind Kansas's basketball scheduling that always gets them really high in the RPI, and you know, got them pretty high in the net this year as well. You know, he's going to be a huge loss for this program. Hopefully there's someone that can kind of step into his shoes, but you know, I've just recently been interacting with him, and I know lots of other people that have interacted with him for a very long time. He definitely will be missed from this program, so I just wanted to make sure we kind of gave him a quick shout out while we were here. The other thing that kind of leads me naturally into you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago when I had Todd Chapman on the podcast. The Kansas tennis team is hosting the Big 12 championships right now. They actually had their first match today they are the 3 seed in the conference. They faced TCU. They won that 4-1. You know, once they got that fourth point, they stopped playing. But they are moving on. They will play Oklahoma State tomorrow in the semifinals with an opportunity at home to go and win a Big 12 championship. Which should set them up, if they're able to win the Big 12 championship, that should set them up to potentially be one of the top 16 seeds and be able to host the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. So, Mike, I don't know, have you had an opportunity to get out to Lawrence for a tennis match at all this year?
Yeah. You know, all do congrats to the tennis team, but no, I have not.
I don't know that I necessarily blame you. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes to know when to get out there, and I definitely recommend, though, anybody who has the opportunity, get out there. It's a fascinating sport from everything. You know, I've been able to watch a few
matches. Yeah, I'm a tennis guy. You know, I played in high school, and I could still pick up a racket, and I think, anyway, hold my own pretty well. So,
yeah.
I love tennis.
They're
but,
not giving away free tickets because it is a Big 12 tournament, and they're not giving away free tickets because it's a Big 12 tournament. But – you know, that doesn't mean that you guys shouldn't go ahead, and if you have the opportunity to get out there to go and take that in person, you know, there's no guarantee that you'll have that same opportunity in the next couple of weeks here when the Big 12 tournament when the NCAA tournament starts. But definitely take advantage of that if you guys have the opportunity. So, all right, Mike. Well, we will go ahead and leave it there for tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. Just a couple quick notes. We will, obviously there's been a lot of basketball news dropping. I will have Fetch on the podcast sometime in the next week or two. I've got a lot of stuff personally that's going on. I have a big exam that I'm studying for that's actually coming up, which is kind of why we haven't had as many episodes as I would like. But I think it also makes sense to kind of wait, to talk about the basketball stuff until the dust has settled and we know who is declared for the NBA draft. You know, it doesn't really, I think, make much sense for us to speculate about whether Devon Dotson's going to, you know, pull his name out or if Silvio is going to declare, which he actually just did today, you know, or if Doak is going to declare, stuff like that. That's just us kind of throwing random opinions out there. I don't know that really benefits anybody other than getting people riled up. So we will wait until that kind of the dust settles there. And then once we have a better idea of who's going to be here next year, then we'll kind of have that discussion. So, but yeah, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys haven't already, you can find us out on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, all of that. All you need to do is search Rock Chalk Talk. We are on the Rock Chalk Talk podcast network, the SB Nation network. I've been talking about it for a little while. We are actually talking with a few other people to try to get a few other shows on here so that you guys have more content. But there is lots of great KU podcast content. We're looking to try to add to that over the summer. I definitely plan on having at least a couple other shows going by the time the football season kicks off. So definitely stay tuned for that. In the next few weeks here, I think we are going to revisit some of our previous episodes. Specifically, I know during the summer I'm planning on, we're going to go back and revisit our reminiscing on the 2007-2008 football season. I think there's never a bad time to talk about those. So we will get some repeat episodes in there where I will still kind of give you guys updates on the news and everything of what's going on with the team. But that will allow us to kind of revisit those episodes, but also not have to spend a ton of time during the summer vacation of coming up with a ton of brand new content. However, we will still be coming to you periodically, you know, kind of looking ahead to the football season, recapping what's going on. If there's any good baseball or softball news as the Big 12 tournament for those kind of come around, we will hit that for sure. Unfortunately, those teams aren't necessarily doing too well this year, like we were hoping that they would. So there hasn't been quite as much news to keep you guys up to date on. But yeah, so we will go ahead and leave it there. Once again, thank you guys so much. If you haven't already, rate, subscribe, all that fun stuff. We'll get your episodes into your inbox as soon as possible if you guys can do that. So, but once again, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.